Welcome to the Quarantine Book Club, a comedy and book club podcast where we read some of the best
and worst
speculative fiction out there.
I'm Bob, a career theater technician and educator.
And I'm Rance, an English writing and literature teacher.
We might not know everything about these books,
but we'll damn well try.
And we're happy you can join us this week.
Make sure to visit us at www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
And check us out wherever you listen to great podcasts.
Talking about
wake up!
What?
Wake up!
I am awake.
It's 11:09 in the morning. It's time to wake up.
I've been awake longer than you have.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm telling
you
to wake up.
You were like, oh, you're going to sleep longer. I was like, can we start recording
at 9?
Yeah,
I was tired. I went to sleep at 12:30. I woke up at 4:30. I couldn't go back to sleep until 7:30.
God, what a fucking baby.
Seriously, that's what I'm going to get now when my sleep schedule is off, Mr. I've got a CPAP transformer on my face.
It's not here yet, okay? There's a national shortage, and so actually I think international shortage of parts and stuff. Thanks, COVID. Thanks, America.
Well, you know what? Who needs to live anyway? Breathing is secondary.
It doesn't even fucking matter. You know what? We're recording this on the 4th of July, and who cares?
I have one big thing to say about that.
Please.
But first, I have to find my sound. You have to give me a second.
Oh, my God. I know which sound you're going for.
Stars
and stripes for... Yep. Welcome to fucking America.
Hey, guys. Just letting you know.
Forever.
America is a pile of shit. There we go. That's it.
Yeah. No, we're fucking living in what is the worst. You remember that? What novel is that? Is that Tale of Two Cities? It's the best of times. It's the worst of times.
That we're not. Whatever. No, it's never in the best of times. There's no
it's
best.
It's just the fucking worst. It's just the worst. We're living in the worst.
Yeah.
There's no the best.
Well, one day we'll just have the long sleep about it.
Oh,
it can't come
can't
soon enough.
Fucking wait.
It can't come soon enough, baby.
I'm waiting.
Can't wait.
Just listen right here.
Every second that passes is another one closer to my demise.
I just want to fucking make it stop.
Well, you won't. You know why?
Because I'm a coward.
You don't have the courage.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
That's not to play light with people unaliving themselves. Obviously, you know, it's a dark time. If you're out there and you're a millennial or you're a Gen Z or a Gen Xer and you aren't making jokes about how you wish it would all end, something's fucking wrong with you. So, hey guys, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the QBC back at you. Two boys, one pod.
Don't worry about it. Look, this is we're still currently in the quarantine book club format, but we'll be moving forward soon into different formats. I have a question for you, Rance.
Yes.
Can you just say words, but stay back where you were at, back there.
Right, close?
No, not close. Back, far
back
away.
Here?
Yeah, say words back there.
Okay.
And then say words close up.
Up close?
Are you sure you're not coming through your headset, Mike? Tap your other mic for me. Tap your main mic. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's
called vocal compression, baby.
Okay, no, it just didn't seem like it was changing
tech,
when you got close.
Baby.
When you get up close to your mic like this and you like to talk
I probably
this.
Need to change something. So I had to reformat my computer.
What?
I just had to. It was so slow and dumpy, and something crapped out. I couldn't play a video game I wanted to play, and I got angry and I reformatted it. But the good thing about it was that nowadays, because everything is on the cloud, I don't have to worry about losing precious information.
Yeah.
So I can just fucking reformat it whenever I want to. When I remember, like when I had a Windows 95 machine as a kid, there was this desperate rush to put everything on zip disks.
Oh my god.
When you needed to reformat. Yeah, and you hoped that you didn't just lose all of your information. Dude, it was a real struggle in like 1999 to 2003 to back up information. You had to hope and pray that your computers didn't fucking shit the bed. Whereas nowadays we just save, and if you don't save everything on the cloud, you know what? I think you're an idiot. I think you're an absolute dipshit. I see people all the time on the twits, on the internets, talking about, I lost something. Yes, you're going to lose something, and that's fine. I'm not giving you a hard time, but like,
I am.
There's places to save it. There's just, if you have precious information, like you're writing something or you're putting something, just use Google Docs, guys. Nobody's breaking into your Google Docs to fucking steal it. And
oh,
you know
man,
what?
They are.
I hope they do. Because why not? It's just, let's call it an NFT. Just call it a stolen NFT. Make it look like a cartoon.
Oh man, we got a.
Can we push to have NFTs called NIFTs now?
Yeah, they're NIFTs. They're NIFTs. Talking about NFTs, I saw an early friend of the show, Gabe Moncayo, who I still am out there following on all these social
medias.
Yeah,
Gabe. And, big Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe bought, apparently Gabe's into NFTs now, and he bought one that for like $50, and it went to 500 in a week.
It's going to go down to $1.
It will. It was also like a Rick and Morty one that said something like, NFTs are bullshit. And I was just kind of like, okay, wait, are you doing this as a joke? And then it turned out like, I still don't actually understand what a fucking NFT is. Like, I really don't get the concept.
Okay. My partner was having a conversation with our nephew about this the other day, because he also thinks that NFTs are shit. For one,
they are.
For one, you have to be a white guy to get into NFTs. Like, no one outside of being a white guy gets into NFTs.
No, it's if you have any amount of melanin in your skin, forget it.
It is a socioeconomic necessity that you're a white guy to buy NFTs, because you got to be stupid. Yeah. You have to be dumb.
Well, we definitely,
and we've got
cornered
that
the
one
market
nailed
on stupid.
Yeah. And so, okay, can I try to explain to you what an NFT is?
Please do it, please.
It is.
This show is going to, we were aiming for an hour in this episode, and we are going to fucking shoot to like 3 hours, because this is
going
to take forever.
No, because I ain't wasted anything but 2 more minutes on this bullshit, because if you like NFTs, get fucked. I just want to put a hard stance on it.
Gabe Rance is telling you to get fucked.
No, I'm not telling, for one, Gabe's not listening to this, and two, I'm not, like, that's, whatever. Yeah, honestly, get fucked. If you like NFTs, you know what? You're an idiot.
You know who likes NFTs? It's Seth Green. That dude's starting a whole show based on NFTs, and then his main character
got NFT'd.
Got NFT, got fucking stolen.
So an NFT, this is my idiot explanation. I could be entirely wrong here.
Right.
So an NFT, you purchase the right to ownership of the object, the file, on what is called, and this is what I'm learning, what is called the blockchain, which is the dumbest fucking name in the world. I don't care. The blockchain is like, it's like point A to point Z. I'm gonna internet a series of tubes. The blockchain is like, imagine a big string.
It sounds like a chain of blocks.
You own one of the blocks on the blockchain. No one else can own that.
Yeah.
No one.
Right.
You.
Yes.
It's like your own space in the internet phone book. You're putting the permission for that file on that blockchain in your own little storage space. And you're going, I own this. This has personal value. I am a rich person because I own file. But then people can make copies of it. But because they don't actually own it in their blockchain, their chain of blocks, it doesn't hold any value.
So what's the point? If you own it, but anybody can use it, who gives a fuck?
It's the same way. This is actually this one. I think this one might help. It's the same way that magic cards have value.
Oh, so they're because worthless, like, is
you,
what you're saying.
Yeah, 100%. You can have the same one that I do.
Yes.
But maybe you beat it up, right?
Okay.
Mine
is, yours is in mint condition.
Is better. It's not the original because
No, what about the art from a Magic card? And then these are all recreations of that art. Dude, okay, it's a stupid concept.
If you're putting your money into magical, invisible pictures that are just zeros and ones, you're a fucking idiot.
Look, I'd rather just spend my money on Fortnite skins and the battle pass, okay?
Dude, Counter-Strike, man, people playing Counter-Strike Go and shit like that. They sell skins on Steam for like thousands of dollars. That's a real ass NFT.
Dad, what the fuck is that? Like, how do you? There's so much hacking and stuff involved nowadays in like modding. How do you actually keep someone from keeping that, and like buying that for $1,000 and then reselling it?
Buddy, I am dedicated to being a middle-aged idiot. I don't know how this shit works anymore.
I'm dadding so hard right now.
You know what? Like, good. I don't need to know what an NFT. If you come to the quarantine QBC wanting to know what an NFT is, good on you because you clearly don't know.
NFT at the QBC. Don't worry about it.
I'm not fucking talking about it. That's what an NFT is. I'm not fucking talking about it.
Man. Fuck those. All right, cool. I don't even know. How do we get on the topic of
you
NFTs?
You mentioned an NFT.
Yeah, but you mentioned NFTs first, and then I said Gabe Moncayo bought NFTs. Let's go.
Why do people say that on the internet? Can we ask that?
I don't
that?
Know. He was the first person I ever knew that said, let's go.
It's like, apparently like a very big, like, a praise. Like, you do a good thing on the internet, like you stream or like you make a success, and people type, let's go.
I want to get really meta one day and have a video game where there's a character who does stuff and yells, let's go. So it's like you would yell, let's go, but then the character of the game is yelling, let's go.
I think that probably already exists.
Okay, why is there a child upstairs just stomping and
I can't
crushing?
Hear it. You it's say fine. These things as though we can hear them.
Because to me, it's really loud.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't
I guess
mean
cause
it's
my,
really loud
because my
world.
Fucking setup's really solid and sounds great. You remember that time when one of Larry Correa's little hanger on or little babies
Christ.
Said that our podcast sounded like two assholes
yeah, they
sitting
to his
in the toilet stalls.
It was way better than his piece of shit podcast. That fucking right wing Nazi fuck.
Oh,
still waiting
man.
For you to fight me, Larry Correa, but you're too much of a fucking baby.
God,
you know what? Fuck Larry.
Apart.
Fuck Larry. Let's just keep talking because I don't want to give that guy any more fucking airtime. He looks like a fucking thumb. And you know what? I'm not all about making fun of the way somebody looks unless you're Larry Correa and you look like a fucking thumb.
Fucking thumb boys. So, hey, man, what? I think it's time for one of the most important questions we have on this podcast.
Is it?
One, two, three.
It's time to drink.
Hey man, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking I had to turn it into a mimosa because I'm drinking
mimosa.
Please, Eddie. That's do you want to hit it for me? I'm Bob. I'm not, but
wait.
Please, Eddie.
Wait, what is that?
It's Roger Rabbit, bro.
That's what it was. Okay. Well, I heard something very important about Roger Rabbit voices.
That's a voice. That's a voice, my guys. That's a voice. That's a voice he does. That's a voice. That's a voice, my guys.
Big hot shout out to our co-host of the QMC, Mick Arcade.
I can't hear that without crying.
If I don't hear, because I sound so bored when I'm singing, which I didn't anticipate. It was just me trying to hit the same note. Shout out to our friend Mick Arcade, co-host of the QMC, who I damn well better hear do a Roger Rabbit imitation next time I talk to him. He won't listen to this. It's fine.
I know. It's fine. I melt every time. Every time you play that when like, because I think he's genuinely sad when you play that. His feelings are actually hurt.
My job is to destroy Mick's feelings in life. Mick,
I love you so much, bro. I can't wait to talk about our next QMC episode.
Hell yeah.
We're doing the Transformers, the movie, and G.I. Joe, the movie.
The cartoon Transformers, not the one that Stephen King walked out of it that stars John Voight, that fucking right-wing ass fuck. Is it bad? Ooh, is it bad to call someone an ass fuck?
I don't know. Fuck.
As a member of the LGBTQIA community, I'm owning the fact that I can call someone an ass fuck. Yeah.
So I'm drinking. Look at me quickly, like trying to move on to a different subject.
Good call.
I'm drinking proud of this Angry Orchard Hardcore Dark Cherry Apple.
Jesus. How many fruits are in it?
I don't know. It's not good. It's actually really not good. Don't want sponsorship from Angry Orchard Hardcore because it just tastes like a gross old wine.
Yeah.
And so I had to mix it with orange juice this morning so I could even fucking handle it. But it was the only thing I had in my house.
So it tastes almost like a sour beer.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't like it. And so I put it in orange juice. I'm also drinking a Rockstar, sugar-free energy drink because why not? It's the fucking America's birthday. Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck about it? You know, I'm just drinking water in a cup.
Okay.
Water in a cup and coffee. I have not actually cracked the alcohol. However, I have started drinking this week the Bud Light Seltzer sodas.
Oh, those are fucking baller. I just don't have any in my house.
Well, you would encourage me to drink them. I have not had the lime one yet.
That's the leastest of them.
The cherry cola one is not, I'm not the biggest fan.
Oh, dude, that's my favorite one.
It tastes a bit like Robitussin. I don't mind
you
the cola.
You taste like Robitussin.
You're Robitown.
Later.
I don't mind the cola, but I actually really like the orange.
Okay. Yeah, no, the orange is good. Like, I actually like, my order is cherry cola, orange, lemon lime.
Well, that's what I would be drinking. I almost want to go get one.
Okay. Why don't you go get one, and I'll keep everybody...
Can you carry us? Can you carry a tune?
I can carry the show.
All right. This baby here is gonna carry on. Okay, before we go, though, before you do that, can I play you something?
Yeah, please.
Blast from the past. So remember when I reformed my computer?
Yeah.
Okay, and I just said that?
Yeah.
Some other sounds that I thought I lost popped up into my sounds.
Oh, no.
And I just saw this, and I hope that it's the right one. This is a live attempt. Do you remember those songs that originally we wrote for the Halloween episode?
I think, yeah.
Are you ready? You want to see if this is it?
Yes, yeah.
Watch out, thy vote! Is that it? You hear it? He's fixed to catch you. When we did the Halloween horror, is this Friday the 13th or Halloween?
Halloween, because it was the band.
Yeah. You know what? That bucks right there.
Oh, that does kind of fuck me. Way to go. Way to go.
I thought I lost these.
No, that's so sad. You did. Okay, so talking as a person who was like, oh, if you think you lose stuff, you're a fucking idiot. You texted me and you were like, yo, I think I lost a whole bunch of fucking shit because Microsoft bullshit XP 27000 forced me to do a thing and now I lost all this shit. And I just was like, I replied to you and I was like, man, that really sucks, and I'm sorry. And in my head, I was like, I'm really worried that we lost some of the themes that we use. But otherwise, I was just like, that's your own fucking fault, man. Okay, I didn't want to say it to you, though.
No. You're 100% right, and I have to roll myself back and identify that, yes, I recently, here I am being like, you can't lose shit, are you an idiot? It was because OneDrive. So anybody who's using a Windows PC knows that OneDrive, I think OneDrive is the biggest piece of shit ever. It does these automatic syncs with your files, and it fucking syncs everything. Maybe I'm an idiot and I don't know how to use it. But I was using 500 gigabytes with fucking video games and shit, right?
I don't like syncing. I think what you should be what the internet should be doing is should be taking a snapshot of your drive and just saving it. It shouldn't be trying to sync back onto it. Like, who gives a fuck? I have control over my hard drive. What I have on my computer, unless I ask you to fix it,
I don't need
should
you
be
fuck
what
with.
I want. Yeah, just leave it.
Let me just give me a fucking icon and let me drag what I want to keep onto that icon. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, so at some point, the sounds had shit out, and OneDrive apparently took them all. And then
said, these are mine.
Said, these are mine. I couldn't find them, deleted them, found them somewhere else on my computer. I don't know how computers work anymore. I sound like the oldest man. I'm a big hypocrite, and I'm fine with that. But if you lose information, it's your fucking fault.
Yeah, yeah. I guess which meant that was your fault.
It's my fault.
Idiot.
I owned it. God. I'm too lazy to go downstairs and get something to drink.
Okay.
Right now. Let's just keep talking.
That's fine.
There might be a random time I'll pull my coin halfway through the show and be like, I got to run down and grab some more coffee.
Hey, do you want to start by telling me what interesting shit happened to you this week other than the death of society?
Oh, yeah, that too. Let's focus on the good things, I guess, if there are any of those. Yeah, so last night I went I've been doing a lot of running lately.
Yeah.
And I went and I did a 6-mile trail run at night, which was the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my entire life.
And a thing that we were originally going to do together, and I've been too lazy and stupid.
So we're running through, for one, it is truly, like, it wasn't a run. I wanted it to be a run. I like flat road. I want to run.
Right.
And hit my flow and just run for an hour and a half, right? Feels good. This was 6 miles of a hiking trail, and my back and my hips are killing me this morning.
Really?
Because so much of it was like uphill. And we're not talking about little baby hills. We're talking like massive, the sides of massive, what felt like mountains. My ankles are rolling on every fucking root in the ground as I try to open up and run. There are so many people. There's so much space between people. I had a headlamp on. But there was like 300 yards between me and the people in front and 300 yards of people and me in the back. And I couldn't see or hear anything. And it was in the middle of the fucking woods. And I thought I was going to get tackled and eaten. And then at one point, a woman had fallen and broken her ankle. I passed by at that point because there were like 8 people around her. So she was fine, right? Like there was nothing that my stupid voice added to the situation could do. They had to like helicopter her out. I was like, this is a mile in. And I was like, bro, I'm done. Like, I'm scared.
I'm gonna die.
I'm gonna die here. Some of the trails were so close to the edge of these massive hills, and yet you'd look down the hill and see nothing but blackness and you'd hear water. And I'm like, I could die right here and nobody would ever know or remember or honestly care. And that's fine with me, too. It was fun and it was good to do it, but I was actually disappointed in myself because I couldn't run the whole length. Like, I really love endurance. I don't care about speed so much. I just want to run. I want to run for an hour and a half because that makes me feel good about myself, right?
Makes you feel like a real fucking boy.
Make me feel like a real boy. And I couldn't even do that. I'd walk up hills. And it was fine. The people were nice. I got some pizza at the end, and then I left and came home. But
oh my god, what?
Yeah, I had some pizza.
A six mile hike.
Yeah.
Or run.
Yeah.
And then fucking hot pizza.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's disgusting.
You just don't like pizza.
No, that sounds like there's except for a picture that I saw of a friend of the show Tyler G. Planet Piss on Instagram out there doing
everything,
a reenactment in the 90 degree weather.
There's nothing as someone who's done that. There's nothing fun about it.
Dressed as a Civil War boy in full body, wool
clothes. Yeah.
Eating a block of cheese, like a big old block of cheese, just sitting on the ground smiling. That's disgusting, bro. That's vomit waiting to happen. You're gonna shit your brains out. You're just gonna diarrhea in your wool panties, your wool pantaloons. It's gross. That pizza is gross.
The pizza was good, man. Pizza was good. It's the best part.
That is disgusting, man. Drink some water. Have a fucking salad afterwards. Don't, maybe some chicken, okay? Some like nice, just baked or, you know, grilled chicken that's not too heavy on your stomach. Fucking pizza just sits on your stomach like a lump.
It was awesome, man. I got home and I just
grow up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we all know how.
Did you shit when you got home?
No, not at all. It was fine. I feel okay. I felt fine for one.
Oh, cool. Hey, somebody set off our humble
alarm. That one I heard. No, I felt fine. I was good. How about you? How was your week, man?
Oh, cool. It was great. Hey, Siri wants to know if I should, what time I should set an alarm for. Hey, Siri, shut up.
All your alarms are turned off.
Thanks.
Thank God, Siri.
Well, I went to a memorial for my dead friend. That was cool. Had a high school friend who died, and proving to me that I am, yes, an old man who is.
Do you want to talk to him now?
Yeah. No, it's something. So. Fuck, I hate it. I can't even concentrate on my own bit.
You gotta push through, man.
I can't do it. It's too loud.
Oh, is it that loud?
It's loud enough that I can't concentrate.
You want me to give you another piano?
No, it's fine, dude, because I got my
You sure?
My own.
Okay.
I'm a grown-up who, first of all, has the right piano music. Thank you.
I wanted to give you a different piano this time.
Look. Dear dead friend, whose name I won't say, I went to your memorial and was one of about three human beings dressed in clothing that was appropriate for memorial, maybe. Like, I know it's casual, but when you show up in a memorial in rural Harford County, Maryland, and there's people with Bowie knives on their belts, wearing America flag shirts.
Jesus Christ.
And some people even walking around in the heat with no shirts on.
No. Oh my God.
And you sit down and you just want to remember your dead friend who died of cancer. And in their program, they have specifically asked to leave all religious mentions out of the eulogies that we'll be giving today, because not all of my friends and people in his life were Christian or even religious. They
That's
were from
nice.
All walks of life, and it was really wonderful. And then the first motherfucker that came up to talk started with a prayer.
That son of a bitch.
Because every white Christian motherfucker
has to make it about themselves.
Into this fucking place. You come in here and what do? You're like, oh, guess what? I'm a white Christian. My religion's more important than everything else. It's more important than my dead cousin. It's more important than my dead friend. It's more important than my dead son. Fuck you. I was so pissed. It was a dry event, which totally respect that, right? Because like, maybe not. Maybe some people there are in recovery. Maybe some people just aren't into it. Whatever. It was supposed to be a celebration of my friend's life, and instead it turned into this real fucking mess. And I was there with my other friends from high school, who we were all in kind of like a group. And so we left afterwards, after the actual ceremony was done. There's a ton of food and stuff, right? And they were like, yeah, hang out. And we looked at our friend's wife and we're like, his widow. And we were like, we got to go recenter. And I'm sorry. We like love you. We're here for you, but we can't fucking handle this shit. And she was like, no, I completely understand. This got way out of hand and I don't. And I'm like, she was pissed. And I feel really bad for her.
That's a shame, man.
Apparently, our friend's mom had because he passed away from liver cancer, so he knew it was coming. So he made a lot of arrangements himself with his wife, such like his what is that thing that goes in the obituary?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, his mom was like, I'll take care of it. I'll send them the obituary that you prepared, except that she completely rewrote it and sent them a different obituary.
Respect the guy's fucking wishes. Holy shit.
I know. No, it's your fucking son. Well, she never actually respected his wishes. That's the thing that I found out this year. She was like a pretty fucking trash mom. So, yeah, no, I just want to say to all the fucking white people out there right now who are acting like fucking assholes, and this goes directly into the reading that we did this week. White fucking Christian babies out there who think that their opinions on things and their ideas of what the Bible is, and they're what they want to fucking watch on TV is important. Fuck you. Eat shit. I'm over here watching Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I enjoy the shit out of. You can enjoy it or not. I don't care. But as let's put it this way, man. There's
guys, we did it. We have enough hot takes. We don't need any more. No more opinions, no more hot takes. We've heard them all. We've had enough. No more. Isn't it awesome? Everyone can just shut up now.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. I'm so tired of hearing you little bitches cry about how somebody of color is ruining your Star Wars ruining your Marvel. I've been watching Ms. Marvel, and I've been enjoying the shit out of what a beautiful show it is that is showing a different culture and teaching me fucking shit, right? Like, I'm amazed that I feel like a fucking monster because I didn't know about all the problems between the now I can't even remember the term for it. The separation in Pakistan and India after England fucking just up and left, after their dumb colonization there. And to be like casually learning about different cultures.
Well, because when a culture is on display through a project in any capacity, you are naturally going to learn if you are open to learning about it, right? This is some of the best ways for people who are ignorant to that stuff. And I'm not using ignorance in a bad way there, because there's nothing wrong with being ignorant as long as you're open to fucking learning. Like, if you are receptive to that, that's one of the – media is one of the many ways that we learn about these varied qualities in the world around us. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to watch Ms. Marvel because, frankly, it looks like one of the most creatively unique things they've done with what is becoming an immensely tired oversaturation of stuff. I've had some feelings about Marvel lately that I don't like so much, and they don't fall into some of the usual. There's a lot of talk. You go on the internet, people will all have their own complaints.
Oh, does it sound like this?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, a lot like that. That slobbery baby.
Am I a white person who's sad about wokeism?
Yes.
Ma'am, no brown people on television.
Well, and then, so yeah, but like I've had my own complaints just with oversaturation and how tired, and like a lot of people really loved Moon Knight, and the further and further I get from it, I actually give about zero fucks about Moon Knight. because it did exactly what WandaVision did, which it is opposed to finding a way to tell a story that is emotionally powerful and allowing it to linger on its emotional power, it just descends into Big Bang Boom yet again, which all of the TV shows have done. And I think that's one of the reasons why the 6-episode arcs to me feel both uninspired and tired. That I know that I'm going to be disappointed after that 6th episode.
I mean, I honestly, I have to say that I think that, like, that's what you're going to get. Like, that's Marvel. This show has done a great job of living in a world where the superheroism is a framing device, but it's not necessarily the totally important parts of the story that are being told. It's about a young girl who is not like everyone else around her because of her color and her religion, coming to terms with what her own background is.
Yeah.
They changed some of her powers work, which, oh no, look out. It's fucking the Marvel universe. Like, that's what they're doing. Who gives a fuck? I'm more interested in them telling an interesting story. And it's all these fucking little idiots right now are upset because it's not telling a story about a fucking handsome, rich white dude, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's not power. It's not their fucking idiot.
It's not their power fantasy.
Yeah. And it's a great show for high school kids. I feel like it's really written on that level where it is more like young adult fiction than it is adult fiction. And it's fun. And it's not, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, let's say, the Babysitter's Club, if there were superpowers, sort of.
That's cool.
Just like, I like it. I like it. I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying a, it gives me the same feels as this episode's book did, which is one of the reasons why I'm focusing on it so much.
Where it's because, refreshing?
Yes, it is nice to live in a world that isn't, that doesn't give a fuck about impressing my white, like me and my whiteness.
Yes.
It doesn't, it's not worried about the fact that, like, it's people writing stories about people that look like and are like them, and they're not us.
Oh my God, you're telling me that being white is not the most important thing in the world?
Weird, right?
Wait, but this is science fiction and fantasy. We should be praising all the whiteness, right?
Oh yeah, because fucking woke motherfuckers.
Fuck, I swear to God, I just want to burn. So we read the novella Remote Control by Nnedi Okorafor. And she is one of the most highly esteemed authors in the science fiction and fantasy, like, I guess, genre in general. Yeah. She's written runs on Black Panther.
Yeah.
She's been working with, sorry, my brain is not working too well this morning. Adapting one of Octavia Butler's stories to the screen. She is immensely accomplished and probably one of the more visible people of color in fantasy and science fiction. So I'm sort of ashamed and upset that I had never read anything by her before this. And Remote Control takes place in one of the same worlds as her other stories.
Okay.
And yeah. I'm very excited to hear that, because this book was so enjoyable and so thought-provoking, and I know that I get to live more in that world again, and I'm very excited about that.
It's... Afrofuturism is a thing that we, I think, as a society and culture, got mainstreamed first when Black Panther the movie came out and was a huge hit. And it's something that I could do with a lot more of. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved existing in a world that was foreign to me in multiple ways, because it's a society that I'm not used to. And so I'm learning about another culture that's real while learning about some made up culture too. And I think that's an awesome way for us as readers to expand our world knowledge, because I'm not a fan of nonfiction. I have a terrible time sitting there. And like, if you're like, here, let me tell you about, Ghana, I'm going to be like, I don't just want to sit here. It'd be like if you said, let me tell you about Cleveland. I don't fucking care, because I just can't process it. I need it. Like,
you need stories. Really, you need stories to tell.
I need framing devices.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's the power of stories, right? Is that we learn regardless of what our education level or our ability to absorb these things are. We all absorb stories in one way or another, because it is that primary way that knowledge is passed down. I don't disagree with you. Like, I think nonfiction can be tiresome. And it's like, it's not saying that it's all bad. I think nonfiction written in a dramatic way can be very helpful, but it's nice to enjoy exploration through fantasy. And also to remember that the Anglo influence on fantasy is one very small part of it. But because those are primarily the voices we got from, like, anywhere from the 1890s and on, all we ever saw was white influence, Anglo influence fantasy. And authors like Nnedi Okorafor are raising our ability to visualize and understand that fantasy is not just a thing that belongs to Anglo writers, and it should not be. And I think one of the things that I loved about this, actually, before we start.
Hey, do you think you want to talk about the book that we read? Okay.
Still love
haven't
that.
Heard that. Haven't heard it in so long. And before we move on, in a little housekeeping, I just want to say, first of all, that as much as I love that little ditty, we're closing in on what are going to be the final few episodes of the Quarantine Book Club as it stands right now in our current format. So I would definitely suggest, before you move on with this episode, if you have not read this book, since we're going to talk about spoilers, go out and fucking get it on Audible. It's
yes.
It's 5 hours long, I think. It's not that
yes.
long. It's fucking beautiful. It is a beautiful piece of fiction that will make you feel a lot more things than you expect to going into it.
The narrator, Adjoa Ando, mm-hmm. is absolutely spectacular.
Beautiful to listen to.
Well, and I didn't realize too that she's been in Bridgerton.
Okay.
She's been in a lot of stuff. So it's really nice to, it's always really nice to see that marriage of like,
oh shit, I know exactly who she is now.
Yeah.
Now that you've said that. Okay.
Oh, have you, like, it's nice to see that marriage.
Tara's watches Bridgerton.
Popular TV and audiobooks. I love it when, mm-hmm. actors can also read, and I think that sounds really shitty to say, but there's some actors out there who I don't need you to read my audiobook because you can't do it well. Like,
no.
I think more recently, at some point, I had read the when they had like the Legend of Drizzt stories, like David Duchovny, get out of here.
He was a little bit rough. You yeah. know who I'll never say no to if they're going to read a story. Ice-T.
Yeah, yeah.
Ice-T, please just read me all the stories because yeah. If you ever read the interviews with him about doing the story in that, he's like, this was some real fucking nerd shit that I had no clue about. Like, I don't know how he ended up reading it.
I think just because it's cool. Like, it's just cool.
It's awesome. It is. But he's like, I had pronunciation guides and I didn't fucking even those gave me fucking trouble.
That's so cool, though, because it really actually does demonstrate. I think that demonstrates just how sometimes inaccessible fantasy uh-huh. can be. And all too often, we are writing for an audience that we think just magically knows what's happening in our head. And that was one of the most inviting things about Remote Control, was
yeah.
that Nnedi Okorafor is writing about things that I am unfamiliar with. She is writing about she's not that she needs to do this work, but her stories do it naturally in this case, breaking my misconceptions of what Africa is, mm-hmm. because we have been so blinded by this phrase, and the phrase isn't even functionally like appropriate anymore. Blinded by this phrase, third world country.
Mm-hmm.
To just sort of presume that all of Africa is like because colonization is bullshit and white people are bullshit. So it's really beautiful to read something that hits that science fiction vein where we see the breadth of cultural beauty
mm-hmm.
in Africa, and in this case, specifically in Ghana.
Yes. And like watching Or reading a story about a different culture, but also then, you know, and I think, yeah, like being taught as kids in our specific upbringing that it's so alien to us. And then yet, you know, just realizing that people are fucking people, don't be an asshole. And like that while cultures are different, emotions, love, family, all of mm-hmm. these things are the same. They're the fucking same universally.
Yep.
And it really, there is a narration. The narration in this story does this beautiful job of explaining what it's like to be a child, mm-hmm. who has no founding formation in their life of, like, a mature parent. To be an orphan who not only is an orphan, but is an orphan who is on their own because of their state, but then can really be given whatever they want. Like, they can have whatever they want.
There's the main character, Sankofa, has an immense amount of power. And one of my favorite so this story, this follows the tale of Sankofa, who that is the name she is given after she forgets her birth name, which is Fatima. Mm-hmm. And she discovers this, what she calls a seed that we can only presume provides her this great amount of power. And this power is deeply undefined. And I love that. For one of the things I want to praise about this book is that it just reminds me that that which is mysterious and peculiar doesn't always need explanation. And I fucking love that in science fiction and fantasy. Yep. We oftentimes get so enmired in magic systems and this is how the science works that sometimes I can and should just be both fascinated and terrified by that which is unexplained, especially because the narrator or the narrative angle of this is from the perspective of a child who doesn't know.
Yeah.
And she finds the seed that is being sought after by a corporation. It gives her this power, and this power allows her to burn out and destroy electronics, and also to, when uncontrolled, absolutely kill people around her.
Yes, and I think that it is I think the unexplained, like the my interpretation of the unexplained phenomena is that it's an immense radioactivity
that
she exhibits.
Yes, that's what I thought too.
Because she
suggested
she
by like the greenness, right? Yeah.
Which we is amazing use of a trigger that we just assume in like culturally. Mm-hmm. We associate a sickly green glow with radioactivity. And there's nothing like to do with radioactivity in real life. Like it's not that there's no such thing as glowing green toxic waste.
I think I think we think a lot about that because of our perceptions visually mm-hmm. and symbols in our life. I always think of Mr. Yuck, right? Poison is green. It makes you feel ill. Green is you're green around the gills, what have you.
Yeah.
And Sankofa gets this amazing and terrifying ability, which when she is harmed, it explodes out of her in this green protective aura that kills people around mm-hmm. her. And it is, she is orphaned, spoiler alert going forward. Mm-hmm. She is orphaned because the very first time that she inadvertently uses it, she is protected. She's hit by a car. And she's protected from bodily harm by this green explosion that fucking kills her entire town of Willigoo, including her family, her brother. And there is a few pages where she is just wandering as like an 8-year-old child through her town because she doesn't know. My hair is rigid as hell right now. She is just looking at the bodies of her loved ones decompose over the course of several days. And she doesn't know what to do other than just like sit there in the room with them. And it is one of the most twisted pieces of horror I've ever read. And it's not even in a horror book. And that to me is when horror smacks the hardest.
Yeah.
Because I can absolutely see this confused, upset child feeling the blame for the death of not just herself, but her whole family. And I'm sorry, not just for her whole family, but for her whole town.
Uh-huh.
And just internalizing that, but not understanding why.
And that's exactly it. The lack of understanding that this poor child has. And there is one of the cool things about it that I was the first when I finished the story. And like you said, it expands. It's part of the narrative of kind of like a larger world.
Yes.
That she has but there's this kind of magical but maybe alien presence in the story that has to do with the seed itself, that the seed has a possible not a possible, almost a absolutely stated intelligence and
sentience.
Yeah. Sentience, that's the word. And that it's hard to tell whether it's alien or magical or both. And you think that it's possibly from, there's a meteor shower
yes.
the night that the seed, the night before the seed presents itself to Sankofa. And it lands itself in her tree that she sits in, this Shea tree. And the story goes, it like very much goes full circle, and but also leaves itself open to further, like, I feel like this character could show up in other stories.
And
later.
She should. At this point, she's legendary in this
yes.
world. Because she, you know, causes death around her. And yes, while she is accused of being a witch, and she terrifies the people around her, they also shower her in praise, because as she wanders from town to town being known as the adopted daughter of death, because she brings death, people just shower her with objects and goodness, because they want to in two ways. One, they want to protect themselves.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Two, they want to use her power for them. Sometimes it is a matter of being like a Kevorkian-esque vehicle for the kind death mm-hmm. of people who are suffering, or like Al-Hajja, who is her caretaker for a short amount of the book, who just sort of uses her as a tool for protection,
but also raises her as a mother too. Like as like there's a give and take with that character, and you understand that she's pragmatic. Mm-hmm. She very much is like, okay, she's also not afraid of Sankofa as well. She's like, you're child. Like, I understand why, you know, perhaps why you do some of the things that you do. Let's give you a proper home.
Yes.
And so she does for a while. And of course, spoilers, everything goes wrong, because there's no way that it can't in this book. And leading up to that sequence in the book was some of the most, it was sad because it was some of the worst tension that I mm-hmm. felt in a story, because I knew it was coming. Because you knew, as storytelling goes, I don't know how you make that interesting without just going where you think it's going to go.
This is Sankofa's curse.
Yeah.
She is cursed to destroy those things around her, not because of her decision or choice, but because that is the nature of her possession of the seed.
Absolutely not her choice. Like, yeah. It's completely accidental, and it's forced out of her by one of the interesting areas. This is, and we aren't even mentioning it. We're talking about in Robot Town, which is where this Robot Town,
yes,
which is this amazing invention. It's just this location that is, they call themselves Robot Town mostly because they have a big old robot.
The RoboCop.
Traffic officer. Yeah, it's a RoboCop, and it's a giant traffic officer that just stands at the corner of their major mm-hmm. intersection, and it just sort of like watches for trouble, but also is a traffic guard.
This is one of those aspects of Afrofuturism that I think, and I'm going into this not really deeply understanding the tenets of Afrofuturism,
yeah, mm-hmm.
but also loving. Is that, again, not necessarily needing to explain everything. We see Sankofa, and oh God, one of the things that I absolutely loved in this, and it kicked my ass. So apparently Nnedi Okorafor wrote this during the pandemic,
okay.
Which there's references to the pandemic in this book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in fact, after Sankofa kills every member of her town inadvertently, which is something I never blame her for. It's very easy to look somebody like, well, they're bad. They killed a whole town. She didn't understand what she was doing, didn't understand how it was happening. It wasn't her fault. That they basically wipe Woolugu off the map, and they just the government just goes, something bad happened here. We're going to say it was a sickness.
Yeah.
And we'll salt the earth and come back to it later, which I loved. I found it terrifying.
Uh-huh.
That there are these elements of science fiction that are never explained. For one, just like our world now, everybody is consumed by their phones. Sankofa is not, because she can't deal with electronics.
Right.
There are a lot of self-driving cars in this world. which is not something that I think I would normally associate with all of my broken perceptions of Africa.
Yeah.
Through all the literature media that I've seen. They talk about jelly tellies, which I presume are like liquid LED televisions.
Yeah, I was wondering, and I thought that was like a wider world thing that perhaps was explained in a different thing, because in my head I thought of like our new technology is coming out of bendable screens, and like it's like a roll-up television.
Yes. And then the RoboCop, right? Just this great massive effigy to prosper in this town. Everybody, they love the RoboCop. They clean it. They
shower it with gifts. Yeah. Right? Like it's
almost like a religious artifact.
It is what makes their town special. They even say it's what makes our town special. And it brings order and peace to our town. And they love it. And I think that's a cool thing that you wouldn't find in America, mm-hmm. because in American based literature, because it's not, we as Americans don't have pride in the external and as a community. Like we don't really have community pride anymore.
It's so funny you say that though, because it's as an object to be proud of. I didn't see it like that at all.
Okay.
I saw it as an object of colonization.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see that.
Uh-huh. That it is an element of control to the town, that it even tells them when to move. Went across the street, and it watches everyone. And we do have that. We just don't have it as a big object, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We don't have – we have these panopticons. And they use the phrase panopticon in this. She used the phrase panopticon, which is one of my favorite and most terrifying ideas, that something is always watching over us and influencing us even when it can't see us.
Oh, it is, dude. Fucking traffic cams? Yeah. Like, you know – radar, all of this stuff that like specifically in based around, and in this it's a traffic cop, you know, based around our movement and our freedom of movement. And
well,
we actually do the opposite in America. We don't praise our RoboCops. We hate them.
We hate them, as we should. Well, and I think they even do in this. Okorafor, I think, touches into a lot of the disdain against police, thank God, because ACAB, in this world as well. That the disdain for law and authority exists in Robotown as well. People just don't express it as much. There is a moment in the book when Sankofa is the subject of a... accusation of witchery.
Uh-huh.
And God, it sticks out in my head so profoundly. And I love it when single sentences can do this. That the minute people start throwing rocks at Sankofa, the next sentence was that they just were starting to kick cops on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is this – people are they're oppressed by authority and law. And in that moment, it's their absolute freedom to damage those things, because you can't normally. You can only move in large groups to do something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, it's funny seeing the sort of the parallels. And not even realizing them, perhaps, as you're reading it. And I don't want to go off on a weird tangent that sounds something like it, but that you just reminded me of. I was watching a video on YouTube, and I wish I could remember what the video, like what it was. Oh, it was a Screen Crush. And it was this dude talking about the Joker in The Dark Knight, the Heath Ledger Joker, and how he was right, and that society is broken, and it's in a downfall, and that Batman is actually an extension and expression of fascist society. And it was just, it's interesting if you get a chance to look it up, but it has a lot of that same ideal, which is that in large groups, people still will defer to an authority figure.
Yes.
And they won't come out and express themselves against that authority figure unless there's some unnatural change in the status quo.
Well, and that's interesting that you say that. What a great comparison, because do you remember what drives the town to call Sankofa a witch?
Is it in Robotown?
Yeah.
That you're talking about? Yeah, it's because she stops the Robocop
from working. So they see this great authority, this almost godlike presence in the Robocop, mm-hmm. but it is not in their head connected to police. Mm-hmm. Because the minute that the riot goes, they're beating the shit out of police officers.
Yeah.
But yet they praise the Robocop because the Robocop has done – the Robocop – has no judgment. It is rules and rules alone. And I mm-hmm. think there is this amazing commentary that is so subtle that it is not the rules that are bad per se. It is those people who enforce them.
Mm-hmm.
That the Robocop, because it is pure code and logic, and even when it can't understand who Sankofa is and it says that she is confusion –
uh-huh.
Its rules have broken, but the Robocop does nothing to harm anyone in the town. It just keeps them safe. Why? Because it's not fucking human.
Yeah.
And it's not a bribable, corrupt extension of law expressed and translated through human mind the way that police officers are. Mm-hmm. It is just clean rules. And I think oftentimes we look – we talk about rebellion and, you know, anti-fascism, right?
Yeah.
And we oftentimes see that police are extensions of fascism and control. It's not the rules that are fascist in nature. It's those people who are put in places of power to force abiding.
Yes.
And that's to me, like, I couldn't stop thinking about the connection between the Robocop and just how very different it was than the police in the town.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not there. It's not even considered the same thing.
And Nnedi Okorafor is clearly connected into like pop culture and geek subculture.
Yeah.
The name of her, the name of Sankofa's fox.
Mervyn Peake. Okay.
Mervyn Peake was a fantasy author.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
The author of the Gormgas series, which is just an awesome reference, but also makes me think that RoboCop is a reference to the RoboCop that we know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's so very different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because RoboCop, it's really funny that RoboCop itself, as much as we look at what the movie series RoboCop is and can absolutely enjoy it, RoboCop, the concept, is a tool of fascism.
Yeah.
And it's like he's a quote, peacekeeper and law enforcement officer, but like... He's a robot who goes out and does what the rich people, because it's, you know, we're talking about corporate America creates RoboCop, you know, OCP.
OCP.
And like RoboCop's entire idea as a cyborg and human relatable character is the fact that it breaks that fascist corporate ideal and becomes its own free thinking thing. But at the same time, RoboCop is still a white male power fantasy mm-hmm. idea of what the law and justice are.
I mean, came out right alongside, you know, NARC, right?
Yeah.
The video. We were talking about NARC recently, that it's, what do you do with the druggies? You shoot them with rockets.
Yeah. And watching, like, playing Mortal Kombat and stuff recently, and just kind of seeing some of the idea of, like, understanding that the creators of Mortal Kombat have of what RoboCop is. And then also moving forward into the RoboCop that Joel Kinnaman played in the remake.
Yes.
Which I think they tried to back off a little bit from that idea of, oh, it's like he's a fascist
extension.
Extension, because the future in Detroit in the new RoboCops is so much, the new RoboCop is so much different than, you know, the original one. And I'm interested to go back and like watch the original RoboCop series for a little bit. And I think that, who's it, Verhoeven?
Yes.
Wrote and directed the original RoboCop. And like that, there's a lot of commentary in there. And it is really neat to see it influencing probably almost definitely on purpose this statement in this story.
Do you think that the RoboCop in this book is intended to be a presence of good?
No. I think the RoboCop in this book is intended to be a presence of the what's the company that
LifeGen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because isn't it a product of LifeGen?
It is. In fact, that's what we find out, is that Sankofa is confusion to it, because the RoboCop has been demanded by LifeGen to keep tabs on her, but it cannot do so through any means, because she has no cellular phone. She has no digital footprint, as it says. There's a lot of really cool, the application of really cool buzzwords in this, and I hate to call them buzzwords because they're just part of our natural world now. Like talking about digital footprint, that I'm fascinated, because 20 years ago, we wouldn't have had any idea what the fuck a digital footprint is. And I wonder 100 years from now if we will be so digital that we won't even understand what a digital footprint is.
Right. That we just will all have one, because there's no, like, we're going to be.
We have one now, for crying out loud. It's one of the things that makes Sankofa so different is that she doesn't have one.
But you know what's funny is, when you think about it, is that and maybe it even says something about us, that to us, that idea of not having a digital footprint is alien. Yet there are people that live in our society now that do not have digital footprints. And it's almost become this level of class warfare against those who don't have digital footprints. That people who our country is trying to eliminate cash. Like, the corporate entities in our country don't want you to use cash anymore, because make money off of every transaction that you make with digital currency. There are people who use cash exclusively, and they don't want you to. Look at, I know I'm sounding like a real fucking conspiracy theorist.
Oh, this guy over here sounds like a real NFT fan.
Look at Easy Passes and tolls now.
Yes.
There's, in our area, I don't know if it's like this elsewhere, but in our area, you no longer can pay cash for tolls. You have to use an Easy Pass, and if you don't have an Easy Pass, they charge you for it. And 9 times out of 10, when you get it, it's double the rate, because they consider it driving through the toll without paying.
Yeah.
And it, like, that's them literally just arbitrarily doubling the amount of money that you have to pay for a toll, because you haven't signed up for a service that was originally a convenience. And that's plain and simply class warfare.
Well, and we've seen these kind of things explode since the pandemic, because we were so afraid, rightfully so, so afraid of touch. But then companies, of course, as massive corporations do, they find ways to make money through convenience. And because at that time, convenience was not needing to come into personal contact with people. Yeah. All of a sudden, it is. I mean, every place, think about it now, every place that you could, you used to be able to just order curbside from, they still offer that. Even though you can step in and go and do those things. It just makes more work for the people in the store now. People are needing to cook. If they're at a restaurant, they have to cook twice as much for curbside as they used to ever do, but also for the people there. It's not just a one or the other thing.
And it is more currency coming into to the store and the franchise, while putting out less currency
for
it's just
workers.
More profit.
Yep.
Look at Royal Farms. Royal Farms is completely automated, except for usually like one or two people that work in that Royal Farms behind the like kitchen counter and stuff. Now,
yes.
All your checkout is automatic. I was in Walmart last night, unfortunately, day before 4th of July, and there wasn't a single non-self-serve aisle open.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock at night, they didn't have a single person working a register. It was all self-checkout.
That's because we all exist under the great eye of our RoboCop, our American RoboCop.
Fuck, man. Yep.
Like, I mean, these little self-checkouts have cameras that look at you to take pictures of you if you so much as don't scan something.
Dude, they're all watching you. This is the kind of thing, they'll listen to my old man. He's going to tell you, don't give him your social security number. Don't tell him, look, you can't take a picture of me without my permission. I'll sue you. I don't need your social security number at all. Dude, look, don't do it.
Well, and that's what Sankofa is. So she is distanced from her original identity. She no longer remembers the name she was given at birth. She is as alien as the seed itself. And one of the things that constantly fascinates and terrifies me is the continuous use of the word alien as a connection between our understanding of the extraterrestrial and also our understanding of that which is very terrestrial but just outside of our arbitrary borders. I actually am growing increasingly discomforted with the use of the word alien.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like you pick one. You can't. I don't like when people talk about like illegal immigrants in our country. I never use the term illegal alien. I think that it is. It's a verbal tactic designed to
other place
them as the other.
Yep.
Yep. And I don't, nowadays we don't need more creation of the other. We need more inclusion. And so, yeah, I'll absolutely fight every time to not use terminology like that. And I'll correct people. I'll be that asshole that I'll say, you know, maybe the term immigrant is a better, because that's an inclusion as opposed to an exclusion. You know, the term immigrant is someone coming here for a good reason, you know, like, and instead when we say aliens, it means we want to push them out and away.
Yes. They're no longer a member of our society. And it makes me wonder in this too, society is not just a physical thing bound by borders, but rather a digital thing. Being a digital citizen is part of our conversations nowadays, and because Sankofa is not a digital citizen, she is an object of danger to this world.
Yeah. It's there's such subtlety and brilliance in this story that it's a five-hour listen that you could unpack for 10 hours.
Absolutely.
Which makes it so brilliant that it's so much more relevant to us as an American society when it's a story about non-Americans. And we should be opening ourselves up to more fiction like this.
This is why we have to. Here we go.
Dude, are you gonna tell me about a woke agenda here, brother? Come on, man.
Look,
my name's Larry Correa, and I don't care about science fiction. Only needs to be entertaining. I look like a fucking thumb. Are you a white male who likes to write stories about pew pew lasers? Then you're right here. Otherwise, get out. None of your woke bullshit.
You know the biggest reveal for me that you're a piece of shit right-wing science fiction author. Oh, wait. I mean, all of that goes together. I should just say right-wing author because you're definitely a piece of shit if you are. Is that they all love Heinlein, and I figured out why.
Why?
Cut enough letters off of Heinlein, and it spells Heil.
Oh, no, God. Yeah, when you started saying cut letters out, I was like, oh, fuck, man.
And this is why we have to break away from this this hero worship of Robert E. Howard and H.P. Lovecraft and then even Tolkien, and moving into Heinlein and Philip K. Dick. I have read some Heinlein. I've read way more Philip K. Dick. I appreciate them for what they are within the space, but I don't ever think that these people are relevant anymore. I just don't, because they're writing science fiction at a time where that was whatever.
We're over 60 years removed.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to start inviting and allowing and openly allowing that invitation to people who are writing differently than we're used to. Mm-hmm. And this is why BIPOC writers are having such a fucking hard time being seen as peers, because so many of these asshole white writers are pushing back against it like it's some kind of extension of wokeism. No, it's just the fucking way society's moving, you idiots.
Yeah, it's literal progress, and I don't understand why people, like, why do people think that more opportunities for others always mean less opportunities for them? It is the biggest lie that is told to mediocre white men, that the opportunity for someone of a different color, of a different religion, of a different sexuality, ideology, gender, if we are including them, we then have to begin excluding white cis het males. No, like that's not what we're saying. What we're right. saying is that we just want more choice. We want, and I want to be able to be. I want to understand people that are different than me, because that's learning. And aren't we always supposed to be learning as adults? And to create a world society as opposed to a nationalist society, because nationalism is the start of a society's downfall. And it happened in Rome. It happened in Nazi Germany. It happens repeatedly. That once you make that choice that your society is better than another and you want to exclude outsiders or look at England. England during their colonial period. Mm-hmm. How much it hurt them at the end. Their society nearly collapsed, you know, because they stretched themselves and they colonized so much and everybody eventually pushed back against them. And the same thing is happening to us right now, and stupid fucking idiot Americans don't realize it. That we're falling apart.
Carry my guns.
Fuck your guns. Yeah, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck your guns. Fuck your pro-life bullshit.
Guns Eat aren't shit. A personality, you no. fucking knob.
Look, you can have a gun. I don't give a fuck, but don't, like, just, it's not you. It's you. Oh my God. I can't, like, I know.
Like how you just imploded. Like you had a thought that couldn't even functionally express itself because of your anger.
I'm so disgusted and I'm so mad at our society and our country right now. I'm disgusted. I see people around me having their rights taken away from them. And I look at it every day going, I'm a white cisgendered male. You know, completely straight passing. No matter what my sexuality is, like, it doesn't. I can walk into a room with a bunch of white cis het males and stand there and fucking act like I'm a cigar chomping fucking heathen with the yeah. rest of them. And it doesn't. It's not fair to the people around us, and they're just. They don't see that they're the bad guys. And that's horrifying to mm-hmm. me. And it's also a little humiliating to me as a white guy that, like, I look at other dudes who look like me and I'm like, you don't get to be the good guy anymore, because you're not. You think you're the good guy, but your stupid thoughts and your fascism, your plain and simple fascism.
Well, I got to be honest with you that I even think past that nowadays. As a white guy. Mm-hmm. I'm part of that too.
Yeah. No,
I get no extension. I get no escape from that. Right.
Right. Right.
Which is that when I see people talk about men are shit. Yeah, they are. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I've done shitty things. Oh, and now yeah. my job is to identify as best I can when I've done the shitty thing. And if I've done the shitty thing, to be better. Right. Like I get no space for recourse anymore. I get no space to fix that anymore. And I wish I could just fucking punch other people like me. Oh, like, man. I just
just take the Richard Spencers of the world and play that gif over and over again.
Fuck, punch Nazis. Jesus Christ.
I know we got off course here, and I'm sorry, but at the same time, reading this book is actually, though, I think part of that. I think it's we struggled. I think that it's important to admit that one of the things that has taken us so long to get this episode out is that we struggled how to present it properly going into it. And I should have probably said this at the beginning of the episode and discussion of the book. We are two white men talking about a book by a person that is not a white man and giving interpretations of it. And we may have incorrect takes. We may not be interpreting it properly.
I think the fact that these are conversations that folks like you and me have to have.
We have to
talk about these stories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we need to put them out there and to put them out there respectfully and properly and give a middle finger to anybody who doesn't think that we should do that.
When we started this podcast, I didn't realize that we had a certain approach we wanted to take, which was we wanted to read books by shitty white guys and talk about how shitty they were. But you know, man, some ideas don't stand the test of time. No. Some ideas become damaging over time. I put the piano music behind this, but it's actually true. It's damaging enough to us to read them that I can only imagine how damaging it is for people to be exposed to them who aren't us. And I think one of the things that I realized very quickly was it became just another platform by which shitty white authors were continuing to be seen and heard.
Yeah.
It started as a joke, but it's not anymore because the shit sucks. And
we've watched our society change immensely in the past 2 years, and it's polarized harder than it has been in years. And there's those of us that are sitting here seeing what is happening in our society and are doing something as silly and stupid as starting a podcast.
Yeah.
Or modifying a podcast to try to do a little bit of good, but also bring a little bit of light to people at the same time and a little bit of humor.
Thank God for white guys like us.
I know. That's what I was about to say. We're sitting here patting ourselves on the back, but also we're doing a thing that comes straight from our privilege, which is the ability to say these things pretty much fearlessly. And not worry that somebody's going to, the worst that somebody's going to do is come at us with some words and we'll give them a verbal middle finger online.
Yeah.
And now we even are taking our own privilege to the point where we're like, it's become so tiring.
I can only imagine, only now through our own exhaustion with these exposure to these shitty works, can someone with so many defensive measures as a cishet white guy or cishet appearing white guy trying to think of the right words.
You're fine.
In this society. Now it's like, oh God, well, I've only seen the changes over the past 2 years, but really it's been hell for many, many more.
Yeah, exactly. But now
that membrane is starting to pop and break, and it's just so visible. And it's at this point where it's gathered so much momentum that there isn't a veil anymore.
No, it's gone. Like there is, I don't understand how there's this went from talking about a beautiful book that made us think about things to perhaps some of the things that it really made us think about, which is great, but also not as fun maybe.
Science fiction only exists to be entertaining. If you're learning something from it, fuck you, man. You're too woke.
Oh, man. I don't that even term. If I'm woke, thanks. Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. What a compliment. I don't what the fuck, man. I can't. Dude, I just too, fucking can't.
Too,
thank
you're
you.
Too woke.
Thank you for writing this book. Not you, Rance.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Not you, white man.
I've got this. Let me tell you what. I've got this piece of food. It's probably pizza from last night stuck in my teeth. And I was thinking I want to take this fucking like air compressor.
Oh, spray it out. It's going to be cold. It's going to get cold. What are you doing? Did it hurt?
Did it taste bad? I got it.
Oh, weird.
It was awesome. Perfect toothpick.
Do you have final thoughts on this book?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It was probably the best thing that we have read in quite a while. Mm-hmm. It was, I say this term refreshing too lightly, I think, but it was deeply refreshing. I really can't wait to return to Okorafor's writing again.
Yeah.
It's one of the first times in a very long time that I've read something by an author and go, wow, I really want to read something else by her.
Yes, yes.
Which I actually can't say in too many places is a feeling I feel anymore. It's like I almost feel like I can't discover new shit anymore sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the first time that I felt like I've discovered something new. I loved the subtle approaches. I loved the ambiguous ending of this. I loved the marriage of oral tradition with against technology, against legends, against what feels a little bit like magic. I had to compress all this into less than 5 hours as an audiobook is bonkers to me.
Fantastic. Like, it's a fantastic novella. And I don't think that we sit there and read novellas enough, and we perhaps should. It's okay to introduce yourself to a piece of fiction that's only 5 hours long on an audiobook or a couple, 100 pages or so, and sit in that world for a little while and then move on to something else. We do it with television. We're so in this world of binging, like with television, where we live in a world for such an extended period of time. All of our entertainment is non-ending. It's infinite now, and it lasts so long, and most of it comes to us at one time.
Yeah.
Look at like the new Stranger Things stuff, where the last two episodes of this season are both feature length. They're both 2.5 hours long. There's only two second half episodes of Stranger Things. And I was getting exhausted by the end of the first episode of part two of this season. Cause I was like, man, I actually look for that break in the storytelling. I want a television show. Like, if you make Stranger Things to the movie, great. I'll probably go out to the movie theater and see it. But then I'll be sitting there expecting something that is feature length.
Yes.
And instead of a show, like, give me a television show or break it up. Like Kenobi is a 6-hour movie. It's intended to be 6 chapters kind of in one story that is an event. And will we get more of it? I don't know. I'd like to, but maybe we don't deserve it because a bunch of fucking babies crying about a character of color and they ruined my Star Wars again. Shut up. But just go out, fucking get this, listen to it or read it, and use it as an introduction to a larger world. If you've never read anything like this. And realize that it's great, and that it's beautiful and haunting writing that spans cultures, and that's awesome. That's super awesome.
Well, on that note of super awesome, what do we got going on awesome, next,
not cool.
man?
Super awesome, not cool. Like, is that not?
No,
that
I'm cool just thing? Saying. And right, on super awesome, like, me, like it's 1996, and you're watching. Hey, dude,
eat shit. Okay, salute my shorts, dude. All right.
The thing came apart.
So we're officially. We've probably said it a whole bunch of times, and I'm going to say it one more time. That we're changing what the Quarantine Book Club is. We're moving on to the QBC. We've got a couple more episodes of the current format of the Quarantine Book Club left, and we're going to cap it off and have a finale show. But the next couple of episodes, we are going to focus on, we're going to bring back good friend of the show, Thomas Staples, and discuss the second book in his Pendleton series, The Mystery of the Mutant Water Devils. That's is the mystery of
yes.
the case.
Mystery.
The Mystery of the Mutant Water Devils.
I've talked to him. I was like, I think you got a real problem, my friend. And he was like, what? And I was like, I think there's only so many words for case and mystery out there that like the next yes. one's gotta be conundrum.
Uh-huh. Yep. absolutely.
The problem.
Yeah, he's just gonna start using words like, oh, it's a weird summer day. and so he's gonna come and he's gonna talk about the Mystery of the Mutant Water Devils. And then we're going to do in our Pent Ultimate episode, it's going to kind of be a two-parter because we're going to talk about the Mystery of the Mutant Water Devils. Then we're going to turn things around and Stapes is going to help me discuss in a book club, a quarantine book club style discussion, Rance's book, His Ragged Company. We're going to actually sit down and tear this thing apart and figure out
where
it sucks, what mistakes he did as how many crimes he did as a white man telling stories in a historical fiction
lots
aspect
of crimes.
And well, so and this is not a cheap sell tactic.
No,
but if you get a chance, we push it every week, every episode. Fucking read Rance's book. Oh shit, I think my shit just stopped. Hold on.
Oh no, his shit just stopped.
Oh my God. Hold on. Oh, can we pause for a minute?
Oh, we got to pause.
Can we pause what you got?
We can pause.
I mean, I should be able to actually go back and take some of the stuff from YouTube.
Zoom. Yeah.
Zoom. But yeah, no, GarageBand just completely locked on me.
Oh, we can just keep doing Zoom.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
Let's
Zoom.
Just keep doing Zoom. All it's right. all
you got your
done.
Recording and my Zoom recording will be separate anyway. So that's probably yeah. fine. I need to get the fuck out of this, this format of recording anyway. But, so moving on from that, moving on to discussing Rance's book, we're going to show finale this thing. And it may take us a little while because it's a long ass motherfucking book.
Oh, God damn it.
We are going to, cap the finale of the quarantine book club with a book that I've started reading that is really interesting because it does a lot about, it's very similar to the mission and the journey that we've taken. And it's still Just a Geek by Will Wheaton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man who started his career in Stephen King's Stand By Me and Star Trek The Next Generation. And he takes a look at some of his old memoirs from when he was really popular on the internet as an internet blogger. And he goes back and he's sort of revisiting them and talking about his journey into cultural and social awareness and his journey as accepting who he is in the larger world of... Oh, wait, hold on a second. I think I can record this again. Yes, I am recording again there. But, you know, the larger cultural awareness in the world of just, I don't know. It's just an interesting project that is a very long book. It's like a 21-hour book. But I think it's very worth it. He spends a lot of time showing his own flaws and his own mistakes and coming to terms with them and really... accepting responsibility for his own actions and who he is and who he was as a younger person. And I think it's cool. Like it's a cool experience. It's kind of based around what we've done as a show. And I think we thought it was a great way to kind of cap off our episodes of the current format. We're not going anywhere. We're still going to be the QBC and we'll still be doing stuff. We're just going to kind of only come back to reading books every once in a while. Because
guess
really
what? You can
exhausting.
Read books for fun and enjoy yourself, even if you're learning something with them, and not need two fucking guys like Bob and I to talk you through them.
Yeah.
Just read fucking books. Yeah. Find joy.
We want to have some fun, too. Like, we're tired of not having fun. And so we are. We're gonna jump into some hopefully like really ridiculous and fun formats from the future. We're gonna skip around. Quarantine story time is still happening. So thank you to all of those who have sent us stories. They're there. We're looking for the right narrators to read those stories. Our submissions area is still open, so you can check us out on TikTok. It's pinned to the top of our page, and so everything you need to know about what we're doing this October with some spooky stories from the writing community. It'd be great.
All right. Well, dude, you know where to find us. If you've listened to the podcast, you know, I'm at Violence Obscene. Bob is at the QBC podcast. Just changed its new name to the QBC and QMC.
Yeah. You can find us online in places, you know, just look for
just
us.
Find it. Look at the links.
Look at the links. Everything's in the show description. Get Rance's book, His Ragged Company, before we read it. You can find it on Amazon. You can also find it at EliasFaust.com. If you haven't read it, you're a fucking dumbass. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, you are. All right.
I love you, buddy.
Love you too, buddy. Love you too.
Okay. Sorry that it's been so long to get an episode out, everyone. We love you.
My head hurts and I'm tired.
Join us soon because we're going to be doing the QMC. And with our good pal Mick, we're going to watch G.I. Joe and the Transformers, the animated movies from the 80s, not the trash movies from now.
Although maybe we should watch the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra and Transformers at some point.
Maybe we'll do that in the future, but I can't handle it right now.
Can I tell you one last thing before we go?
Yeah, please do.
I'm ready to fight, man.
Who are you ready to fight?
I'm ready to fight anybody who says that Rocky V is a bad movie.
Well, you're gonna have to save that for the quarantine movie.
I just watch it again, man. Just watch it again because it's so fucking good. It takes 3 and 4 and makes them look like dog shit.
I think Dolph Lundgren might have something to say about that.
That movie was so dumb, man.
What, He-Man?
No, Rocky Four. Rocky Four was so dumb.
I just started thinking about how Dolph Lundgren was He-Man all of a sudden because my brain always goes back to Masters of the Universe.
The thing that's funny about Rocky, so just the last thing before we roll out here, I've been watching Rocky again. Like, watch Rocky One, watch Rocky Two, watch a little bit of Three, and like I feel bad for Mr. T. There's definitely some cool commentary in those movies. Like, actually, the commentary in those movies is way better than we give it fucking credit for. Which we can talk about at a later time. But Rocky Five is a way better movie than people give it credit for, buddy. Okay. It's so good.
Tommy Gunn's okay? He's not too bad?
Here's the thing. The guy who plays him is great. And Tommy Gunn is a, he's a confused piece of shit.
Don't I'm just gonna fight my dad. That's all it is. It's just about a guy who wants to fight his dad, even though he's not his dad. But it's daddy issues, the movie.
There's daddy issues the movie, but also like it is daddy issues the movie because like Rocky fucks up too with his kid.
Yeah,
like he fucks up being a single daddy.
And that's also really depressing because Adrian's dead in that one, right?
No.
Oh, she's still around in that one.
Yep, she's still around.
Oh, okay. Does she get pushed down the stairs or some shit?
No.
There's no like just random she's a lady and so we need to abuse her in the movie?
Actually, a lot of it in that movie is her trying to reason with Rocky. Okay. To be like, look, you're treating your kid like shit. Like you're ignoring him and focusing on Tommy Gunn.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then her kid gets a cool earring, right?
Her kid gets a cool earring.
And Rocky doesn't even make fun of it. And here's the thing. Don't make fun of the way people look, but that earring deserved being made fun of.
Oh, no. Dude, you want to talk about things that deserve to be made fun of?
Yeah.
And earrings. That is the thing I didn't talk about recently. I got my septum pierced as a 45-year-old man.
Yeah.
One thing they don't tell you when you get it pierced is that if you shift it the wrong way, it touches a nerve bundle in your nose that causes you to smell weird stuff.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it smells like I'm constantly like, have you ever scratched behind your ear and then sniffed your finger and that kind of like weird musty smell?
Does it smell like that?
It smells like that. Only worse. And now for the rest of my days until I get rid of this thing, sometimes I'll touch it. Ew. Sometimes I touch it just to smell it though. Because I'm a fucking weirdo. I know this is way off
dude,
base.
It's okay. Sometimes, yeah, you want to smell how bad it is.
I haven't talked to all of our friends in so long, and sometimes there's just so much you want to unload and such fun things you want to talk about.
I know.
Man, I miss doing this.
I do too. Well, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
It's the quarantine QBC.
You can say it's the Quarantine Book Club.
Quarantine Book Club. Quarantine Book Club.
Hey, friends.
Love you.
Stay safe. Be kind. And as always, the most important part, do the work.